Acts chapter 14, we're reading from verse 19 to verse 22. Our emphasis is actually on verse 22, but we're going to be looking at verse 19 to 22 because I want us to have a more comprehensive story. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around him, he rose up again. Can you imagine this guy? I mean, the zeal alone. So they stone him. They actually think this guy is dead. Howbeit, when they stood around him about, he came up again. And the very next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. In fact, he was on another missionary trip with Barnabas after he had just been stoned. Now, that means stoned to death. Like, don't have, some unrealistic view of what we are reading. It's very real. He's stoned like to death. Now, that must have been that he would have been bleeding, right? His head probably or skull somewhere cracked. I can just imagine. Now, he's dragged out and people are round about him. Like, people are surrounding him. Hey, my goodness. There's a spirit in man. Oh. And then, when they stood around him, he rose up. Then, listen, he didn't just rise up and then he's going to be in the hospital for another 2 years. He rises up and the very next day, he's on a missionary trip with Barnabas and he's going to Derbe. Now, watch what happens. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. We must much through tribulations enter into the kingdom of God. That's actually telling them to enter into God's kingdom, we must pass through quite a number, much of a number of restrictances or things that are restrictions, right? So he's saying that, how are we going to enter? We're going to enter through much tribulations, through many trials. So anyone signing in for the kingdom of God has to go through a series of hard times. Now, today I'm going to take time pointing on what these hard times might be, because for some of us, we might never be stoned in our lives. That's blatant truth. We might never be put in chains. We might never be buried alive or heads cut alive. But there are certain realistic forms of this kind of tribulation that we must all come to terms with. And I'm not speaking to people who do not have a desire to serve God and who do not have a desire for the work of a ministry. What I'm saying is that to enter into that ministry that God has committed to your hands, to become that finally minister of God, and to become that minister that God has created and that God actually has in mind, there are certain tribulations and there are certain hardships that you must be ready to enter. You must be ready to go through. There is a suffering you must be able to conform to that makes you eligible to enter into a certain place. You know, oftentimes in the northern kind of homes that we have, very typical northern villages, many of the doors, you don't enter like just with your normal height, like the way you just come into your door and then you open the door and you get in. And you just open the door, you just say, I'm coming. Please open the door. We are coming. No. In many of those homes where we had in the north, there's a certain kind of a bowing that you need to do, right? So you get to realize that before you actually enter into those homes, you have to bow down. Now, if you are even taller, you are even in trouble. That means you have to crawl into the room. So that's how it is. It's making sure you are conformed to a certain state so that you can enter into what God has called you to do. Right? So the word tribulation actually is thlipsis. That's the word. It means something that is pressing. Right? So there is a pressing together. Right? A certain kind of a pressure. Oftentimes, we are pressured in certain ways and we just say, you know, let me just. No. Don't succumb to pressure. Are you listening? When pressure pressures, that is the time to give back a response of pressure. So more pressure will entail more pressure from the other end. And oftentimes, when you have pressures coming in from both sides, when you have pressure meeting pressure, the pressure that is pressured to withstand the pressure between the two pressures is that pressure that overcomes the pressure of the other pressure. If you didn't get it, then next week. So what I'm saying is that when you understand this, that there is a certain kind of a pressure that I must have to meet a certain kind of a pressure that approaches me. Now, in that pressure or in that collision of pressure, the one that is actually pressured than the pressure that it meets, that's the only one that overcomes the situation we have on board. So you get to realize that many people, yesterday I was saying, have exaggerated opinions about serving the Lord. And to them, serving the Lord is just something that, you know, should be cozy, like a bed of roses. Like they're just, you're just lying there and the whole place just smells roses. You know, nothing to happen. And they're just enjoying the whole kind of a flow. Let me tell you something. If you think that's how it is, before this teaching ends, you know, you're going to be prepared with a kind of mind to understand the ministry that you are subscribed to. So that's why you see many people just give up on ministry. Because the moment they enter, they say, oh, my God shall supply my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. But contextually, they are lost. And then also, I'm not saying God does not supply needs. I'm saying that there is a kind of a conforming that you have to go into. You have to become. So in this thlipsis, which is tribulation, we're looking at distress. Right? Yeah. So oftentimes, like I said, there's a crashing, a pressing together. You know what it means to squash? Eh? You compress. Do you understand? You compress. And oftentimes, this word, as I was trying to understand what it means, was not like a weak term. It's not like a weak term. It's not something weak in its communication. Or it refers to some just minor inconveniences. Like, oh, I was just going one day and I hit my leg against stone. That's a minor inconvenience. Sometimes you don't even need paracetamol for that. I was just going and I and and I and the rain beat me. Minor inconvenience. So let it never be said that the highest kind of pressure we went through when we stand before Jesus was that we're going Sunday and then our car tire loose. So we had to get out and pick an Uber. And our white shirt was just, you know, there was just a splash of water. And Jesus is asking, is that all you suffered? Say, hey, that's all I suffered, dear Lord Jesus. No, your suffering did not and is not substantial enough. So there's a squashing in the meter into that tree. There is a squashing. Are you listening? Oftentimes, you know how grapes are squeezed together. So you see that they are placed in a place and then they are crushed beneath a weight. That's how oftentimes it happens. So they are placed at a place and then they are crushed beneath a weight. That's how grapes are actually squeezed, if I'll say it. Now today, I don't know if they are modernized forms. But, you know, oftentimes when, in certain parts of Europe, when you willfully, like, refuse to plead guilty for a cause, you see, they oftentimes will have heavy weights placed on their breasts. And then they are pressed and crushed to death. That's literally the word thelipsis, tribulations. It means that there is a certain kind of a weight that comes. You see that? And you are lying down there, and then that thing crushes you. Is the word tribulations. That word tribulations, thelipsis, tribulation, through which we can enter. You see, through which we enter into the ministry, or we enter into God's kingdom. God's plan of seeing his will accomplished on the earth. If we want to see those things happen, there is a kind of a thelipsis, a kind of a crushing, a kind of a squeezing that we have to go through. But you see something? Whenever you squeeze something, for example, if we're dealing with grapes here, if we're going to squeeze grapes, what do you think is going to come out of it? The wine. Are you listening? The wine. We're going to have wine, right? Now, that wine could be likened to what everybody desires, the glory of the grape. So many times when life is squeezed out of you in tribulations and in tough times, it's not meant to kill you. There is a certain pressing that must produce a wine. And until we have that pressing, you just might not be that fine wine we're looking for over time. So, like I said, these tribulations vary from person to person to person according to the natural occurrences of life, according to circumstances that happen, and sometimes even according to God's plan. Jesus suffered many things. And by that suffering, we now get to see how exalted he has become, because he went through all those sufferings. So the sufferings will actually vary. So when there's a crash, it looks like there is life taking out of you. And whenever we crash out that life, that glorious life begins to show and it begins to spring forth. So many of us, we might not get to be thrown into prison, like I said, But there are certain crashings and squeezings and squashings and tribulations and trials and temptations that we must submit ourselves to so that we can be brought out as fine wine and Jesus can do what he wants to do in our lives. Is there a, God has, I saw a vision and God has called me as an apostle to the nation. You are not going to see nothing. Let me tell you ahead of time. You will not see anything if you don't go through this question, if you don't go through this crashing, if you don't go through this squeezing, if you don't go through this preparation, you are not seeing anything. Let me tell you something. Everybody who wants to be useful to the Lord will suffer something. Put that in your mind. Yeah, you will suffer something. It might be so much of an excruciating kind of a suffering, or it might be some little kind of a suffering. Sometimes you might meet this gentleman who is your boss, but today a lot of fishy things happen at workplaces, and your boss is trying to make advances towards you. And people are actually sleeping with him and getting promotions and having their salaries doubled and having good things happen for them. Sometimes he might even buy them a car or something. Anything just crazy. And then he now comes towards you and he starts to make advances towards you. And you can clearly see that this man, he's making advances towards me. And then you just say, sir, please, I don't want to do this, sir. But he invited you to a restaurant. You went. He took you out for shopping. You went to collect the things. He bought ice cream for you. You took it. Now you come and say that, I'm a born again Christian. You have already enjoyed too much. You have enjoyed too much. You've taken ice cream. He's bought you Gucci bag. He's bought you whatever shoes. Your lunch time, 40 CDs, 50 CDs, 60 CDs, every day 70 CDs, 50 CDs, 70 CDs, 80 CDs. 100 CDs, 120, 250, another 40, another 5, drink 10 CDs, Snapple 23. You are just moving forward like that. Then you now come and say, oh, sir, please, I didn't know he was. Hey, you are a liar. You are a liar. You knew very well what you were doing. You knew very well what you were doing. Then now he now comes and he says that, meet me at hotel room 114. I'll come, but say I'll not come during the day. I'll just come when I close from work. You see, you're already preparing yourself. You don't want to suffer anything. You don't want to suffer anything. Because the last time you said, please say, don't make advance. Please don't do this. I'm not interested. He said, I'll sack you. Because he just said he will sack you. You are already opening up some way somehow and getting yourself ready some way somehow to fall into that very trap that he set for you. Yeah. But somebody who understands tribulations, suffering to enter into the ministry, will say, no, I would rather advise you not speak to me this way. Yes. And very candid and firm about it. Say, I'll sack you. Say, respectfully, if this is what it takes to sack me, then I'm certain you'll sack me. On budget conditions. Convictions of these sorts. Sufferings. So anybody who's going to have something relevant to do with God will suffer something. Something that is hard to bear. It's hard to bear. You know, if you were not born again, you probably would have been drinking beer and drinking whiskey and going on a few date nights and having a few sleep arounds. You see that? But it is a hard thing. That's why I'm narrowing down the tribulations. So you have an idea that the tribulation entails many things today. So you might not have the opportunity to be beaten like Paul did, or thrown in prison, but you will have something that you have to succumb to. Something that you have to bow to. You bow to God's word. You bow to God's instructions. You don't have your own standing way. So many times, not many people like to suffer to enter. Once the guy just starts showering you with money, you already want to date him. You are not seeing any apostolic ministry or prophetic ministry. You are not seeing it. You will not see it if you behave this way. There is a suffering that comes with it. You can say no to the wrong things that are happening around you. It's also a kind of suffering. You say, give me bribe. Pay this so that I can work this thing out for you. Say, oh, you pay. You say, oh, please, pay. And you also go and pay. You are not suffering. There is a kind of a tribulation, a crushing, a squeezing that you must come with. So, Jesus is actually learning sufferings. So, when we crush out the life, we are actually crushing out the glory that should shine and the glory that should emit out of you. That's what we are doing. That's what God seeks to achieve. Hebrews 5 verse 8. Hebrews 5 verse 8. You suffer to take certain decisions. You suffer to put yourself in certain circumstances. Today we say, let's pray for 3 hours. I say, you don't want to suffer to pray. Who should pray for you so that you will come and enjoy? We are all praying. So there are sufferings that everybody must have. Listen, don't be afraid of suffering. Are you listening? Don't be afraid of suffering something. Are you listening? Don't be afraid of suffering. Sometimes you need to go hungry. It is okay. It's okay. It's very okay. I'll show you a scripture of what suffering will do. Hebrews 5:8. We're going to look at Jesus's, just a few examples of Jesus's sufferings. I mean, but the fact that Jesus suffered something. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So there is a certain attitude that you become, and you only get it in suffering. Even Jesus had to suffer something. Some of you, your suffering will be your, like, you sleep long, 10 hours, 12 hours, you wake up and you are fine, you slept, But when you start giving yourself wholly to the ministry, sleep is somehow, some way, I mean, consistent sleeping like that, somehow, some way, taking away from you. And you can't find that luxury to do that things that you used to do. So everybody, let me tell you something. Everybody will suffer something. Everybody will suffer something. Everybody will suffer something. That tribulation, that crushing, that squeezing, that squashing, so that you can enter into the ministry. See, this ministry, you need to do something to enter. You need to do something to enter, to enter. When somebody tells you the Lord is going to use you greatly and you're going to flow in the things of the Spirit, you're going to see and know. But you pray once in 2 weeks on your own. I'm talking about once in 2 weeks on your own. You can't have this. Let me not lie to you. You can't have it. And that's why many people are being deceived. Me, I'm anointed. Or you don't know. I'm very, very anointed. Yeah. And I'm telling you how. That's why I'm teaching you all of these. So that you don't say that she didn't show us how it was. I'm showing you how it happens. Yeah. There is a kind of a condition that you put yourself into. Yeah. So me, when I see myself suffer something, I'm very excited. Yeah. When I see myself suffer something, I'm very excited. Those times when I used to walk the streets and pray till morning, walking the streets. I remember one time I shared the story of how my things were in my bag and I had to go and drop them somewhere. I thought I hid them. By the time I went and came, someone had come to take the things. Took the things. But one of the things I knew was very supernatural was because my Rima card was in the bag. And Rima, once you misplace your card, leave the school. That's their policy. It means you are not serious enough. Yeah. And that day he stole everything. He left the card. Yeah. So when I saw it, I was like, ah. I said, oh, there's something that I'm suffering. And I love it. So I didn't take it, even though it pained me of the things that I lost and all of that. He left my books and then the card alone. That was the only thing he left. And when I came back, I was like, wow, suffering, you are suffering something. Many of us, suffering will actually bring out what we really, really carry. Suffering. Yeah. Suffering to pray, it will actually bring out something. So you are undergoing a certain kind of a pain, a certain kind of a distress. It will bring out the life in you. So be ready to suffer something. Be ready to suffer something. Sometimes it might be a kind of an emotional distress coming in from family and saying you are not serious. You can't take this thing seriously. You can only go to church once in a while. But you can't take this thing to another level. You can't take it to the level we are seeing you take this thing. And you say, no. I am ready to suffer something for the cause of Christ. Oftentimes, you know, we consider tribulations of Thelipses completely like counterproductive to Christian living. No. There is a very significant place suffering has in God's plan. Yeah, a very significant place. A very significant place. You can't run away from it. And everybody will have a fair share of this. Everybody who wants to be used by God will have a fair share of this. Everyone who wants to be used by God, you will have a fair share. You will eat the cake of suffering. Yeah, everybody has a fair share. Nobody is being left out. It's been just rosy and rosy and rosy without any tribulation or distress or certain kind of a conforming to. Everybody experiences this. So Jesus is being obedient and learning obedience and becoming who God wants him to become by the great sufferings that he went through. By the things that he suffered. So be prepared to suffer to enter. Tell yourself, I suffer to enter. I suffer to enter. I suffer to enter. I suffer to enter. Yes, I suffer something to enter something. In fact, you must look around and realize, what is it that I must suffer? I suffer something to enter. There is something that I'm going to suffer. Be ready for it. Make up your mind and start doing your whatever calculations. So I suffer something to enter. I suffer to enter. There is something I'm going to suffer to enter. Sometimes you might be leaving a job that pays very well, but you don't have any time for the ministry. Yeah, don't have any time. You come to church once in 4 weeks. It's time to leave that job and suffer something to enter. Sometimes you might even settle in for a low-paying job, a way lower-paying job, just because you need time for the ministry and its work. So you must be prepared to suffer something. Be prepared to suffer something. Suffer not to take bribes and things. You are prepared for it. Suffering has a place in God's plan. It has a great place. Nobody can take it away. Nobody can take it away. Anybody who tries to take it away is taking away actually what is God's way of pruning and raising and training and equipping his men for the work of the ministry. So be prepared. Be prepared. Are you listening? Be prepared to suffer something. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 27. 2 Corinthians, verse 11, 23 to 27. The least thing that you are already saying. That's why I've always been saying, serving God is not the only thing, and we should do. Serving God is not the only thing, but that's the primary thing. That's the primary thing. 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? Yeah, I am. A better one. With far more labors. Far more. I speak as a fool. I'm more. In labors, more abundant. It means he worked very hard. In stripes. Paul is an interesting man. In stripes, above measure. He says he has taken stripes and stripes and stripes. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, often. It means he has seen death very often. He has gone to prisons. And what he does is that he going to prisons is a frequent thing. He's been far worse beaten. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. To 39 lashes from the Jews, 5 times. Then he now comes and he says, thrice I was beaten with rods. He's giving out his curriculum. The reason why we can say Apostle Paul are because of these sufferings he went through. Yeah, that's the only reason why we can say Apostle Paul. And he writes 2/3 of the New Testament. He's been beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. 3 times have I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day, I have been in the deep. In journeyings, he says often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. You know what perils are? Great dangers. Dangers. Dangerous scenes. He says, in the danger of waters, in the danger of robbers, in the danger by his own countrymen and people who are Jews and Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren. Then he says, in weariness and painfulness. Yeah, means he was in pain. By all of these beatings and perils and tribulations and rods and stripes, 39 of them, 5 different times. He's weary. You know what it means to be weary? It's extreme, excruciating pain. When you say, I'm in pain, that's serious. Weariness, a kind of awareness is like tiredness as a result of intense kind of pain. It's weary. It's likened to the soul. And he says in painfulness. Now this is what he's had. In watchings often. In watchings often. So watchings actually there. We'll be talking about, right, sleepless nights coupled with prayers, hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in fastings often. You see, so he was fasting often, but, and that was why he was not hungry and thirsty often. So you see that? Yeah. So he was fasting. You see, in fastings, often, in hunger and thirst, there's nothing like often. So it means that a natural remedy to not becoming hungry is to fast often. Not beg for food, fast often. In hunger and in thirst. He didn't say often. He says in fastings. Plenty times. So he was fasting so many times. He was not even hungry and thirsty. He says in cold and in nakedness. So in fastings often. Many times say, sir, please, my money is not. Fastings often. You will not be hungry and thirsty often. You will be hungry and thirsty on a few occasions. Fastings often. Yeah. Then he says, in cold and in nakedness. Then he now says, I am Apostle Paul. Who wouldn't listen to him? That's a good example. Today, this is what he said. I don't have money. That's why I couldn't go for discipleship meeting. But your disciples and seeing them, it's just a 25 minutes walk away from you. But you thought it wise not to go. Paul has been in the cold, naked, and he's still preaching or writing letters. You want to have lorry fare every time. before you go and see one disciple somewhere. You don't want to suffer. The least thing, I'm tired of my disciples. Remember in Acts 14, they actually went back. It was in their going back that they went to strengthen the disciples that they had preached to. They went to see them. Suffering to enter. Suffering to enter. Suffering to enter. The Lord helps you understand this in Jesus' name. Suffering to enter. Suffering to enter. You see, these things I'm telling you, they are very nice to listen to. So the message, wow, I was blessed, sir. Thank you so much, sir. But don't forget, I told you that I'm not teaching for the fun of it. I'm teaching so that you will come to that place of knowing and recognizing it. So that when you see a certain kind of suffering, you don't just say, I've given up on God. See, where was God? Where was God? He was there, right there where you were. Say, where was God? So he allowed this thing happen. Where was God? Doesn't he see that I'm a Christian? Who told you that bad things only happen to bad people? Bad things happen to good people. But when it happens, what would you do? As they see, God, you have not been faithful. You have not been faithful. I've served you faithfully. God, couldn't you come through for me? God, couldn't you stop this person from saying this? Didn't you stop this person from, oh God? And sometimes it might even be losses of loved ones and people that mean so much to us. And then you see somebody just throwing out everything the window and saying, I'll never serve God again. No, let this not be your story. Let it not be your story. Let it not be your story that you lost something and you dropped down your equipment as a minister of the gospel. These things are things we're holding on to the very end. Are you listening? Holding on to the very end. There you go. See what is happening. See what is happening. Oh, see what is happening. No. God will always glorify himself. He always will. He always will. He always will. Kenneth Hagin was sick for the first 16 to 17 years of his life. Now hear this and hear it carefully. I'm going to resound this and say this very clearly. Sickness is not of God. And so we are not going to suffer sickness. Period. But the enemy bringing sickness can sometimes teach you how to love people rightly. Now, we're not saying God is the one. Let me say this very sound and clear. It's not God. But sometimes the enemy working in that, we get to understand that. Now, that's not to say that tribulations and trials are from God. I mean, I'm talking about sicknesses. It's exclusive. And what I'm saying is that sicknesses is from the devil, period. So, don't condone and stand with it and say, because of this, I am suffering this sickness. No. But sometimes in that mess, there's something you learn. And you hold on to your faith. And you use the word of God and act it out. Sometimes I recall a story where a great man of God had given birth to his daughter. And for the first year, the daughter was walking, I think 2 years into 3 years, the daughter just became crippled. And she couldn't walk. She couldn't do anything. And they had made the doctors come and see her. And the thing was not going. He laid hands, prayed over her, did that on a constant basis. For several days, nothing was happening. Continued into weeks. Several weeks, nothing was happening. Continued into months. Several months, nothing was happening. And after several months, but he still didn't give up. He says he'll keep on speaking his faith. And he'll go to the office and he'll speak his faith. And he'll sit there and see his daughter crippled for the rest of her life. And you'll shout, no, my daughter cannot be crippled. After several months of fighting and holding on to and trying to be crushed by the devil, he says, no, I would not succumb. I still hold on to the word of faith. He says, one of the days the daughters got out to the park and there were screams all over. Here comes his daughter walking. You know, faith will always win. Faith will always win. It might not be now, in that split second. But if you can hold on to God's word, hold on to it firmly, you will be amazed of what that word would produce in your life. Are you listening? Sometimes you have probably done something and it's not coming. I'm not in the issue of faith. But oftentimes, tribulations will really reveal what we say we have faith in. When somebody says, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith. The test buffer, you just need the test buffer. Put tribulation. Put something. Say, Lord, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Just get a buffer. The buffer there is tribulation. A certain kind of a trial will actually squeeze and you can see the faith almost by introducing a buffer. That's why oftentimes more patience in tribulation will mature you. We're going to look at that probably tomorrow. So be prepared to go through something. Be prepared to go through something. Be prepared to go through something. You're going through something might just be insults flying here and there about you. Would you just say, Z, I've given up. I've given up. I don't want to do this because I want to look good in my family sight. Okay. Okay. Sometimes you see that the work of the ministry is beginning to flourish and blossom. Then that's when you have a visa on your right hand side. Say, ah, visa. Pastor, this visa, I must japa. You have not suffered anything. That's why that apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, whatever ministry God has called you to might not happen. Because you japaed in African airline ways. You the moment the visa came, you disappeared. You say, I'm going for 27 years and I'll be back. It looks like I have some suspicious people here because the way people are not responding. It looks like you have some secret visas in places you are ready to japa. Secret visas. The teaching ministry will expose all of these things. You see how I'm teaching? Everybody's case is inside. Everybody. You can't see it. Everybody. Everybody. I love this ministry. I know when I talk, I'm a prophet too, so when I speak by inspiration. Yeah, so it might not just be calling out details only. The inspiration is by a certain, the speaking is by a certain kind of inspiration. So you see that when I'm talking and I mention your kids, you're like, this thing, I'm the one. Yeah, so let me say it again. You are ready to Japan, to US. You leave us in Ghana. We as for we Ghana, it's for us, it's our inheritance. And as for you, Canada is your inheritance. So you leave us here. So they say, please, we are going. We'll come back in the next 5 years. You have not suffered anything. You've not suffered anything. You don't suffer anything. No suffering. And the years ahead will reveal those who are really faithful and those who are ready to japa, ready to go. They are just waiting. But they are eyeing Yuki with their tongues like this, licking their mouths. Like hungry lions looking out for a buffalo to jump on. They are standing there. They are they are licking their mouths. Saying this thing, if we get it, say will not see us again. We have jackpot. Yeah. So assess yourself. What is it that you must suffer? He says, "Say, can't we serve God in US? Me, I could have served God in US too. Or you think you are the only one who had an opportunity to go to US? I could have served God in US too. But I didn't japa. You are planning to japa. I don't even know where this is coming from. Holy Spirit, I've not used it before. So, when we realize this, that there is nothing that we want to suffer. But I'm telling you, this great ministry will be built by many sufferings. Let me not lie to you. Yeah. It will be built by many sufferings. Yes. By men who lay off their lives and say, Lord, just in case you want to do something, if you want to do it, if you want to do something in Ghana, Lord, we are here and we are ready, we are available, we are open to it. Lord, please, we know you want to do something. Please, Lord. Please. Please, Lord. You can do it with us. God will say, which people are these? People are these. Then he pours out his grace. And says, do the work. And we're going to do the work. We're going to do the work. Yeah, we're going. That's why I don't feel pity for anybody who thinks they are losing something. You are not losing anything. I'm telling you, you are not losing nothing. You'll be surprised that what you would have even gained would have been much more than what you were going to strive for. Yeah. You see that guy with the Benz, you are licking your mouth like a lion who has seen a buffalo, a hungry lion who is ready to pounce on the buffalo. Sister, I'm talking to you. He has a Benz, he has an already built house. But he just wants to just allow me. You are licking your lips. You don't want to suffer. You see that? You want an already made. You don't want to suffer anything. That's why he can go and cheat on you and move out and get somebody else and call you trash. But nobody is going to be called trash because they will not succumb to this nonsense. Say his father is a king, so they have properties already. Don't buy those things. Don't buy those things. Sometimes the tribulations will start coming as a young girl. So where is the guy? Show us a guy. Bring somebody home. It's pressure. aunties are calling, uncles are calling, grandmothers are calling. Say, bring us somebody. We want to see a brother in. And at that point in time, maybe genuinely there's no brother. Yeah. Maybe because the kind of brothers you have around, they are not really brothers. Listen, don't trade the ministry for marriage. Are you listening? Don't trade it for marriage. Don't let anybody push you and make you feel like you have to do it in a hurry. And it has to be done now, 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 now. When you get married, they only go to their homes. They come and chew your chicken and then they go home. Then now you are now inside. Then when you even break up, they'll say, ah, why did you break up? They forced you in. They are forcing you to stay. Again. No, don't do that. Don't do that. So nobody should be under pressure to do anything. Are you listening to me? Yes. Nobody. And I don't want to hear, when are you getting married? Hey, go ahead. I will slap you if you ask somebody that. Yes, I will slap you if you ask somebody that. When are they getting? You? I don't want to marry for them. I don't want to hear any of those things. Are you listening? I don't want to hear any of those things. Whether in a joking manner or whatsoever manner, I don't want to hear it. Don't push anybody into any senseless competition. And don't make people feel like being single or whatever is a crime. Don't be afraid. Are you listening? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You see, many people are struggling today. Many people, they're just not telling you. If you ask them, many couples, if you ask them, they'll say, Charlie, let's dissolve the marriage and go. But they are still inside. You don't want yours to become like that. You see that? That's why you need to learn patience as you walk with God. Am I saying getting married early is wrong? Obviously not. That's far from what I'm saying too. So listen attentively and draw the line in what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand what I'm communicating to you. Yes. So you will learn so many things by a crushing. By a crushing. By a certain kind of a squashing. And you, the young people in the university, what are you doing with the relationship? Level 100. You see, you are not suffering anything. So you just, level 100 already, you are already in a relationship. How? Why? Who did this to you? That in level 100 or 200 or even 300, you are enthused about a relationship. Enthused. So why did this person not call me today? And I've not heard from him today. And I can't sleep today. And please, can someone find out what's wrong with him today? Please, can someone check for me what's happening now? I can't seem to be... I'm supposed to be reading slides by now. I mean, not these things. Not going on dates. You don't need a date. Are you listening to me? These are things you will suffer. Many things you will suffer. And that is how you will begin to enter into the ministry. Enter and have God's will concerning your life come to pass. You enter. You enter. So there is a kind of a tribulation to get you in. Don't forget. Strive to Are you listening? Strive to be determined to. I wish I could tell you something else. I honestly wish that I could tell you that it will be fine. You fulfill your ministry without this. Say, oh, just eat, enjoy, and come and I'll lay hands on you. But I'll be doing these things. You see that? Yeah. Enjoy. There's no need to pray too long. 30 minutes is fine. There's no need to hear the word of God for several hours. Just 45 minutes is okay. No need to suffer anything. Jesus has suffered all. All you need to do is just eat, sleep. Release your faith. Release your faith. Speak. Release your faith. 5 minutes of just releasing your faith. Devotional, 2 minutes. It's okay. I wish. I just wish. But you see, because I have great love for you, I want to show you how. You see, I want to show you how. I want to show you how it happens. Who is excited to know how it happens? It's a hard thing. But I want you to know how. Who's excited to know how? After this, don't fight me. I've told you what is true. Told you. And this is true. It's a hard thing, but it's true. The rest who are not saying, they are not replying, means that they are not happy. They hate me for saying this. Yeah, saying this guy is not serious. He's too extreme. It's too extreme. He's over the bar. I think someone needs to talk to him. It's too extreme. The rest are not happy. Yeah, I can see. The rest are not happy. I've spilled it out like this. But disciples don't really have a choice. Do you understand? And I don't really have a choice. So it's not really a problem. I've said it this way. There is something you must have. Not many people like it like this. I came and said, receive dollars, 10,000 pounds in Jesus' name. Tomorrow by this time. Ferrari, don't reach your door. Hey, you see this place? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I receive. So tomorrow by this time, your bank account credited with 20,000. Amen. Is it suffering to enter? What is this message of suffering to enter? What is this? We don't really like it like that. That's what your heart says. Receive it. Are you listening? That's how you can fulfill the ministry. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And thank you for all that you are. Thank you for your grace in our hearts. Thank you for what you're doing. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're embracing suffering. And we are loving it and walking in it. So that true ministries can be birthed forth. We thank you in Jesus' name.